I'm speaking today with Jolanda Jones, candidate for at-large position 5, City Council. Jolanda, the question I start everybody off with is, why are you running for this office?
I'm running for this office so that I can help make Houston the best place in the country for families to live, and I believe I'm the best qualified candidate to do that.
Okay. Now, you have run for City Council before in previous years. What would you say you've learned from that experience?
I've actually won one previous time in 03. I learned that I have to coalition build, which I've done. I've won the majority of the endorsements, the vast majority of the endorsements, and all the grassroots organizations, I've won them. You need to have an absentee ballot strategy, which I didn't have in 03. You've got to have an early vote strategy, which I didn't have in 03. You've got to actually campaign in Missouri City, which I didn't do in 03. I thought that I was, but I learned that you have to get good people working with you, which I've done now. And you just have to be able to outwork everyone, and I'm doing that.
Okay. In the news lately has been stories about some opponents of yours on the at-large number 5 ballot who've had questions about their residency, and one of those people dropped off the ballot and then came back on. You're quoted as saying that you think the letter and the spirit of the law should be followed. My question to you is, do you think City Council should take action to either clarify the existing residency requirements or perhaps to tighten them up somehow?
I agree that the law should be followed by letter and by spirit. There should be some clarification about what residency is, because I go to sleep in Houston and I wake up in Houston, and unless I have to travel outside of Houston to do some legal business, I'm always here. And so I just want for all of us to follow the law.
What kind of clarification do you think there should be, and do you think that this is something you would pursue once you're elected?
It's not high on my agenda. I don't anticipate I'll be the person pursuing it.
Okay. We're coming to the end of another hurricane season. What do you think is what is your opinion of the state of the city's hurricane preparedness planning?
I believe that we need to make sure that we can communicate with everyone and get people in and out safely and make sure we have gas available. And to the extent the city is working on that, I think that's good. I mean, we learned very valuable lessons in 05 about that. So we're doing better. And I think we need to work with Galveston and other surrounding areas to make sure that we are able to get people out safely and have the resources we need here.
Okay. The city currently has about $45 million budgeted in fiscal year 08 for flooding and drainage improvements. Do you think that's enough, and what do you think the city should be doing that it currently isn't to improve drainage and mitigate against flooding?
No, that's not enough. I've spoken with Councilwoman Edwards, and it's going to take a lot more than that. We're going to have to take a very hard look at the budget. We're going to have to see where we have money. We're going to have to encourage developers, because development is one of the reasons why we have more flooding. It's a more dense city now, and it's going to become more dense. And when you have more people flushing toilets, washing clothes, then it works on the infrastructure, and we're not able to get water out of here as fast as we should. So we're going to have to figure out if we have any fat in the budget. I support performance audits to determine that, but it's not an easy solution. If it were, then we wouldn't have flooding problems, and the infrastructure would all be maintained and like it should be. So I don't purport to be the expert on infrastructure, but when I am on council, I will study as I should to try to come up with the best solution to help mitigate all these flooding-related problems that we have.
Council recently granted historic district designation to the old 6th Ward, which gives them unique powers to regulate development in their neighborhood. What's your opinion of that, and what's your opinion of the statement Mayor White made afterwards that he did not intend for that to be a template for other neighborhoods to follow?
I believe in historic preservation. I also believe in change, and sometimes they are at odds with each other. I believe that we need to balance history with modernization. And I'm not clear, at least just yet, how you define what's historic, because there's a lot of debate about that. But I certainly believe that history should be preserved. And it's just a delicate balance. I don't know that I have an opinion one way or the other on Mayor White's statement. The first I heard of it is when you just said it, so I'd probably need to think about it. But history is important, and those things that are historic, after we define whatever that is, then we need to do what we can do to preserve it.
Okay. Michael Bromwich, the former U.S. Justice Department Inspector General who investigated the problems with HPD Crime Lab, recently testified before a State House committee that a special master should be appointed to determine what role faulty evidence analysis played in hundreds of convictions. Mayor White, Chief Hurt, and DA Chuck Rosenthal have said that they don't think a special master is needed. What's your opinion of this?
I believe a special master is needed. I'm down there every day, and what I don't think they appreciate is faulty science is faulty science. I could give you 100, probably thousands of examples of what I see every day. You have the people collecting evidence, not preserving it. I mean, collecting evidence from a number of people, not marking from whom the evidence came, not putting it in containers that seal it, throwing all the evidence together, which there's a tremendous possibility of cross-contamination. And I believe, just for fundamental fairness, for fundamental justice, that you have to have someone non-interested in the process to figure out what's going on. I mean, HPD, at least when I was one of the ones telling them that they had bad science from 1998 until 2002, when people finally got it, they were not willing to admit that there was anything wrong with their science. In fact, Jim Bowling told me that they had the best scientific techniques. He was the then chief of the DNA crime lab. So when I was subpoenaed to speak before the State House on the issue, because I'm very knowledgeable in that area, I was amazed to hear Jim Bowling testify under oath that they had not received the proper scientific training. That is a perfect example that when your credibility is at stake, when your livelihood is at stake, when your profession is at stake, that you won't always look at things in an objective light. Chuck Rosenthal, he is the same bias. He is the person who prosecutes those cases based on that faulty evidence. And for him to admit, to have an outside fact finder come in and look, could show that he didn't do his due diligence in finding out if the evidence that the state was supporting was objective, was truthful. So it's like having a fox, you know, watch a hen house. I absolutely believe we need to have an independent examiner.
Okay. Council is currently working on an ordinance that would require developers to either set aside a certain amount of park space when building residential units, or to pay a fee that would be used by the city to acquire more park space. What's your opinion of this proposal?
Can you repeat the proposal again?
I'm sorry. Council is working on an ordinance that would require developers to set aside a certain amount of park space when they build residential units, or to pay a fee that would enable the city to buy more park space. What's your opinion of that?
I think we need green space. I hadn't thought about it. I didn't know that they were proposing an ordinance. I don't ordinarily like to give conclusions about stuff I hadn't had a chance to investigate. So I'll reserve having an opinion, but I do believe we need to preserve park space. I don't know enough about it. I don't know what the fee is. I don't know enough to determine, but I don't think we can go replacing all of our green space or park space with cement. That's not going to work. It's going to contribute to flooding. It's going to make Houston a really ugly city. And again, I don't have an opinion, at least not yet anyway, but there needs to be some green somewhere.
Okay. Metro will make a final decision on the route for the university's line probably in a few weeks now. Where would you like to see the university's line go, and what is your opinion of the process they used to make the determination? In other words, do you think they were sufficiently diligent in getting public feedback?
I'm not convinced that Metro was diligent in getting public feedback. I actually thought I was voting for rail. I did not realize that they could construe it to be bus rapid transit. So I think the feedback element was absolutely lacking. I think they're trying to come back now and do things, but I mean, the rail is here and it's here to stay, so we have to deal with it. I do think we need a transportation system that gets people to and from their homes, to work and to schools and to economic centers in a safe, affordable, and efficient manner. I do believe we need to get cars off the street because traffic is deplorable. But insofar as where I'd like the line to go for the university line, I don't want it to go down Scott, but it's going down Scott. I don't want it to take neighborhoods, and they showed us four variations, and with all different ways. So there were four, I believe, from the spur to right past Maine or something, and then four more. So it's just really hard for me to tell how I want it to go. And I haven't gone out and spoken to the people in those neighborhoods that are going to be affected past Third Ward. I mean, I know in the Third Ward area, I don't want it to go down Scott, but it's going down Scott. So, and I'm not on the Metro board, so I really don't know that I have say in it.
Okay. The city of Houston is supposed to redraw city council district lines when the population hits 2.1 million. There's evidence to suggest that we're already at that threshold, but Mayor White has said that he would like to wait until after the 2010 census before taking action on this. What's your opinion of that, and what process would you like to see the city follow when the time comes to redistrict city council?
To my understanding, they're going to add more council members.
I believe that is correct, yes.
Because of the population growth. I don't know. I haven't thought about how they're going to redraw it. I just haven't. So I don't have an opinion, I don't believe. I think we probably do need more representation. I mean, because there are more people in inherently different parts of the city, and different people have differing needs. So I hadn't looked and studied that. That hasn't been an issue for me. Do I have an opinion on whether we should wait until 2012? I mean, I don't know. I really hadn't thought about that.
Okay. Council recently voted to abandon a one-block stretch of Bolsover in the Rice Village to a developer who intends to turn it into a pedestrian plaza as part of a mixed-use project. The Chronicle wrote an editorial at that time saying that they thought that the sale of a public street to a private developer was poor public policy. They didn't think that it was a good idea to sell city streets to a private developer. What's your opinion of that?
I actually agree with the Chronicle's editorial. I mean, we need to keep what's public, public. We need to keep what's public, public.
Okay. Earthlink has recently agreed to pay a $5 million penalty to the city for failing to meet certain deadlines in its contracted construction of a citywide Wi-Fi network. Do you think the original deal the city made with Earthlink was a good one? And do you think it's still a good idea to pursue a citywide Wi-Fi network in the event that Earthlink is unable to do so?
I'm not certain I understand the question. Are you saying that, I mean, can you turn that, because I just don't understand it. Hindsight is 20, obviously. If Earthlink, I think citywide Wi-Fi is a good idea. It's a technology age. And we need to, the city should do its part to help the citizens be a part of the information age. So yes, I think Wi-Fi for the city is a good idea. Do I think that pursuing the contract with Earthlink is a good idea, or if we should be able to get out of it? If Earthlink cannot perform the contract, then the city needs to use whatever remedies it can to be made whole. If that means suing Earthlink and getting them to pay for the cost of them going out to get a Wi-Fi system from somebody else, that's fine as well. We definitely should provide Wi-Fi at no cost. And we've got to find someone who can do it.
Okay. What's your opinion of the city's red light camera program?
I sort of think it's Big Brother. But, I mean, I don't run lights, so I don't know how much income it's generating. Do you know?
I don't believe the city has really released those figures. It certainly hasn't released figures as to accident rates yet. I know that.
So, I mean, do we know if they deterred traffic violations or saved lives?
Not yet.
I think it's Big Brother.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about?
Well, yeah, I'd like to tell you about the issues that are important for me on council, which is public safety, putting more officers on the streets. And, I mean, it's going to take a bit of a while because we're putting more officers. I mean, we've got to replace the retiring officers that we have. And that's problematic, so it's going to take a while, but I'm absolutely in support of that. I believe we need to economically develop this city because we need more businesses paying taxes, and we need more people who own homes paying taxes so that the city can provide more efficient services. I believe we need to do what we can to put affordable housing within the city limits because people who own homes, police their neighborhoods, they know their neighbors. Neighborhoods where there's a lot of homeownership has less crime, and that's important. But also homeownership causes businesses to come where the homes are, and it just makes for a good city. I believe the city needs to get back into the business of partnering to provide education for our kids. They need somewhere to be from the time they get out of school until the time their parents get home. Crime is high because kids are not being raised. Their parents are working long hours. And I'm a product of after-school programs. I know they work. The people in my family, I mean, from a personal experience, my cousins who didn't participate in after school programs are all in prison or on welfare. I think the city needs to go back to doing that because it works, and it'll also translate into good, productive, law-abiding citizens. And I think the city needs to do what it can and not just rely on federal funding to open up city health clinics. I'm a product of that as well. I got my vaccinations, I got my blood pressure, I got my teeth cleaned at city health clinics. My single mom with her 5 kids could do that because you had to pay on a scale. And I was healthy. I went to school all the time, and sick kids get taken to emergency rooms, or sick poor people get taken to emergency rooms, and then we all pay for it. And I think that it'll pay off in the long run. And those are just very, very important to me. And I'd also like to say that of all the candidates in my race, I've gotten the vast majority of the endorsements. I have a broad-based coalition of support. I've recently got some business support. I met with Robert Miller. He contributed to my campaign, and you know, he thinks I'm going to win. I actually agree with him. But we need somebody on council who's a leader, which I am. We need somebody on council who can team build, which I do. But we also need someone on council who has the courage to stand up when that time comes. And so if you ever see me standing up for something, it's because the team building part didn't work. And I believe myself to be the best candidate, and I'm asking everyone for their support. And I'd like for them to join my very broad coalition of support, from Pakistanis to Filipinos to Blacks to Hispanics to Koreans. I mean, from ministers to, as I said, the vast majority of the endorsements, because I am building a diverse coalition just like this city is. And when I get on council, I will do all I can do to make Houston the best city in the states for families to live.
Jelonda Jones, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Charles.